Well, good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Rob. Rob, how you doing?
You got the whole team.
Chantel is not here. Chantel is out. Oh, did Chantel call in? Yeah, see if she'll call in. Chantel is out sick. This was one of the first times I came back from traveling and I was okay, but she traveled and she got sick.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, and Keisha will be in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right, how's everything going in Indianapolis?
Well, I'm still in Florida, and it's getting a little warmer.
So you're on your way back to Indianapolis?
Yeah, I'll be going back June 20th, actually. So we're pretty much here from October 30th through June 20th.
Okay, you're on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm over on the West Coast, a little island there, Boca Grande.
Where is that in comparison to Marco?
It's north. Where you go, Marco, Sanibel, and then Captiva.
Okay.
Then Cayo Costa, and then the next island is Boca Grande.
Okay, you got any room for more people to come down?
Yeah. We have a guest house here.
You have a guest house?
Yeah.
That's all right. Well, I want you to work this team so we can get a guest house, too. We don't have a guest house, Rob.
No, you'll have one after we're done.
All right, good enough. Good enough. I'm going to say this, and then we can get started. I was at a couple of meetings last week, and Supernova has come up a few times. So I've mentioned it, and then there are some others that have mentioned it too. So you're getting around. Your name's getting around.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it was favorable.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. All right. Well, we can always use. We're happy to accept introductions.
All right. Good. And all right. So that's how we're to put it. And we're going to do that. We'll put it that way as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, I've been out for the last 2 weeks. This is my first week back. I think we're making progress with folders. Now, we've been having meetings. I've been doing meetings. And one meeting I elected not to use a folder at that time because I'm not as familiar. I really want to be familiar with it before I introduce it. But all of the clients are very comfortable with, and many are very happy that we're reducing the clients that we have, and they're actually looking forward to us having more contacts with them. So Chantel is here.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, we're glad you're here, Chantel.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I just feel that I want to be real comfortable and with whenever we meet, and so that's kind of where we are with that.
All right. Is there anything about the folder or the use of the folder that I can help with to make you more comfortable?
I wish I had one in front of me. One of the things I'm not sure how to do, we have a blank sheet that has all of the client information and we're asking the clients to fill that out. And I just feel that I don't really want to do that, with clients that we've had. I just don't believe in having them fill out blank pages, with names, social security, all of that stuff. I, I just think I would feel some kind of way if I had
so
to do that.
So what if we just added our profile sheet to the front and tell them to look over and make sure nothing has changed, and if it has, to let us know. Because we can print their profile.
There are parts in that sheet that I think would be good, you know, like hobbies and that type, sort of thing. You know, I think that would be good.
Well, let me help you with this, all right?
Okay.
I agree with you completely. I've never advocated handing a client a sheet of paper to fill out. I mean,
okay.
that's what they do at doctor's offices. You feel like they
right.
don't even know who you are, you know?
And I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it. So what I would suggest doing is when you meet with them, if there's something on there, you have your team fill it out based on all the information you already have on the client. And you don't need Social Security number on there or anything like that.
Right. Right.
If there's
right.
something on there that you think you'd like to get, then just pick a couple things, one or two things. And just
yeah.
to update our records, what I'd like to do is ask you a couple of questions today. Is that okay? Sure. All right. You know, I know you love golf, but do you have other hobbies besides that would be of interest?
Okay. Well,
just ask a couple of questions, and then every time you meet with them, you can ask a couple more until it's filled out. No, I agree with you. Never.
Mm.
I don't like sending clients the things that I should already know, you know?
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. So, let's see. The referrals. If the other referral sheet. The endorsement. We have it listed as other referrals. And is that how we want to do that? Use this sheet to keep track. We don't want them to have that, do we? Use this sheet to keep track of your client's list of referrals. Do we want them to keep that in their folder?
That's in your folder. It's in your folder and their folder.
Yeah. I don't. Do we want to do that?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at that. One of them is, you know, when you refer someone to us, we want to make sure that we give them the proper amount of attention and give you some feedback. Everything is, of course, confidential. But most of the time when you have given us an introduction, that's important to you that they be handled properly. And so that's kind of a feedback sheet for us. That gives us a chance to remember who it is that you've referred to us and make sure that we are giving you the feedback that client is continuing to be very satisfied.
And so they're to keep this in their folders.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you,
okay.
of course, have
See,
to,
I'm not,
you have, you know, you're going to refer to them in some cases, and in others you may not be able to, but if you're doing that and you referred, let's say, for example, you referred a cardiologist to them, that might be something you'd put that. You down just to remind yourself that you referred a cardiologist, or you referred a realtor to them, or you referred anybody to them. It's important that you remember that you did that. And the same thing for them referring to you.
So do we have the same names on sheets or not? So,
it's back and forth. You should have half of it for ones that you send to them and the other half is ones that they sent to you on both sheets.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm almost at the point where I need to be taught like a 5-year-old, okay, in terms of how do we get to this point, the process of getting to this point. And it's a matter of, because I've heard so many different positions on how to ask for referrals. How do you ask for referrals? What is it that we need to say to referrals? And what I was thinking was that, well, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to you so I won't cloud it with what I was thinking.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, because when Gerald said referrals, I'm thinking that this list that he's looking at right now is to help us build the golden Rolodex so we can start referring for needs that our clients may need to have.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking?
That's what I was thinking this was for.
Yeah. Okay.
But it sounds like it's more for getting referrals from them.
No, it's another section for that.
But this says referrals. But see, the sheet says other referrals, and it has referrals. Use this to keep track of your client's list of referrals, and the client gets this. And if I got, if I get this, I'm going, this ain't got nothing to do with me. It's about you getting business. Even though, yes, I do want to help you, and yes, I do like, you know, what you've done for me. But I don't know. Use this sheet to keep track. I don't know if I would want to see this if I was a client.
Okay. I mean, that's why, you know, you can do with this folder what you think is best and customize it for you. Those are ideas. They're not absolutes.
Okay, cool.
The 1242 is an absolute. The rapid response is an absolute. The financial planning is an absolute. How do you track your introductions is, you know, that's certainly up to you.
Okay.
But I think having a golden Rolodex in both folders is important. I think, you know, list of people that are your confidential, enthusiastically endorsed professionals in your community. I think that's a valuable list for them to have with their phone numbers.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And, all right. Good enough.
And you can have that in your folder, and they can have it in theirs. And, you know, you can periodically update that in case they are asking or need something. And I would refer to that. Do you need any introductions this month in order to, you know, make your life easier? Yeah, I'm really looking for a dentist. Wonderful. We have one.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And we can set this folder up however we want to set it up, right? There are no absolutes here.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to jump on this, because this should not be anything you're uncomfortable with. This is a tool that makes your life better, because everything should be at your fingertips.
Right.
All the information about the client, you know, their kids and their names and the birthdays or whatever. So you're not having to run around for this and that. It's all there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the agenda's there and a place for your notes. The agenda's there for the client, the place for their notes. These are great tools that make the meeting go smoother and you stay on track and you finish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it should be a benefit for both of you.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Okay. So then we can set this up. I think we can talk about how to set this up to make it easy, to make it flow.
Mm-hmm.
To make it flow. Okay. All right. Okay. Good enough.
Yeah, and most of the time you're just, Daryl, you're just gonna move to the back of the folder anyway and go right to the agenda and then to the notes. You're hardly ever gonna go through the folder.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So then what I was just thinking is that the agenda ought to be on the front.
Well, I kind of like the agenda in the back. I know this sounds weird, but I like the information about the client from the front. Just because if I open it up, I can look through it quickly. I can look if there's going to be a presentation that I'm going to make. That's probably going to be in there. And then finally we get to the agenda, and that's a place for the notes next to it. It's just personal preference. But if you have the agenda and the notes in the front, then the question is, you know, who is this client? I don't even know who this client is.
Well, if the agenda's in the front and the agenda has the name of the clients on it.
Yeah, that's true. And you have the name on the top of the folder and all that,
right.
You'll know.
And then that way the client knows exactly what to expect, first of all. You know, here's what we're going to go through this day and with this meeting. And then we can go through what we've said we were going to go through. And I can keep the notes in the back and still, you know, write in the back.
Yeah, I like the agenda.
Well, I would have the notes next to the agenda so you don't keep having to flip pages back and forth.
Okay.
If you're going to put the agenda on the left-hand side of the first page, then the right-hand side of the first page should be, you know, on the second page, basically, should be a place for your notes. So that's
okay.
You want to make it easy for yourself.
I got you. Then where do we put the team information, especially for prospects?
I guess in the back. That's why I like the team information in the front.
I just think it's just, I mean, it's just more logistics, so we just have to figure
we'll work it out.
Yeah, what we
will. We'll work it out. Okay. I got you. Okay.
I mean, because think about it, maybe you want the agenda on the third page then, and, you know, the first page is the team information. They open it up, there's your name, your phone number, and all that, and for quick reference, right? And then the next page, you know, you can might be the next page could be information about the client. You know, that's like a summary from their financial plan about the client, all the information about the client, even in their folder. And then the next page could be the agenda.
Okay.
And then the notes from that.
Oh.
I like the idea that when you open it up, whatever, however you do it, the agenda is on the left side and the notes are on the right side. That way I don't have to take notes on the agenda. I've got a blank page. I can take – I mean, that's the way I coach you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it.
I got the blank page on the right. I got the information on the left that I, you know, I want to talk about. After thousands of coaching situations, it just seems to work pretty well.
Okay. That works. Okay. That works for me. That works for
and
me.
And I actually do keep it in the, you know, funny. Sometimes I have it in the back with your guys. I have it in the front. It's funny. It's interesting.
Okay.
Anyway. Anything else about the folder that we should discuss? Because this week we're talking about the agenda itself and how do you create the agenda, what's it look like, what's the best. Because, you know, a lot of people don't do that. How comfortable are you with creating an agenda and et cetera?
We're open for suggestions. I'm comfortable with it, and I want you to coach us through it.
Okay. The agenda is, you know, the agenda started out being very, very simple and has become a little more interesting, and that means probably more complex. The agenda should incorporate things that are pending but you don't want to forget about. And that could be such things as pending contributions to the church, to the university, to you know, whatever else, all charitable contributions and kind of the dates when they're going to be made. Now, it does, I'm not talking about $500. I'm talking about, you know, a big gift that needs to be paid before June 30th.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe you pledged 5 years, right, of $5,000 a year. And that has to be paid before June 30th to meet your commitment. Because mm-hmm. that's their calendar year for the university. And so that would go on there.
Okay.
You know, obligations that the client has, you know, it's just amazing. Let me get mine. It gets kind of complex as your life gets more complex.
Okay.
Rob, are you there?
He's looking for his agenda.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so my agenda is short-term and long-term, okay?
Okay.
And then cash flow and review and recommendations. So there's four things on my goals and tracking items, short-term goals, long-term goals. Okay? And then the next page is retirement cash flow, and the last item is review and recommendation.
Okay.
So this is... You know, this is for your best accounts. You know, somebody that has complex situation, a lot of money, they're retired, they need to keep track of their cash flow, what are their expenses, what are their revenues. In my case, you know, it starts out maintain cash position of so much, reduce mm-hmm. mortgage debt by, you know, so much, 100 grand a year. Expenses. Mm-hmm. They actually put down my expenses after taxes. Mm-hmm. Current asset allocation, proposed asset allocation, because I don't like the proposed as much. I'm not going to do that until I feel the markets have decided to make a turn to the worst.
Okay.
You know, then profits in business in Supernova need to be moved to the foundation at year end. That's just a reminder. This is a private equity investment that I made. Gift to Wake Forest, and then when the gift needs to be made and what I made and when I made them. So they keep track of that. Now, this is a blessing for me. I mean, this
okay.
is because Rob is not that organized.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are, okay? Gift
okay.
to Pfeiffer University, you know, gift to Pfeiffer University, four-year payment, required minimum distribution, the Octave card renewal, gift to my children, Juliet, my granddaughter's 529, contribution when I have to make it, family foundation, R&D, must be made by 531 each year. Then long term, our reduced mortgage debt and grow the family foundation to a particular goal. Retirement cash flow, then they go through and you know, dividend income, taxable, tax exempt, CRT, deferred comp, net life, required minimum distribution, Social Security for both of us in total. And then prior month recap, foundation paperwork completed, foundation sources, family foundation, business equity, etc. Review and recommendation. Juliet put $550,000 to Juliet, grant or trust, paperwork should be completed, raise cash for expenses, realize gains for 2016, and then talk to the CPA, and so forth.
Okay, so, now is this an in-person meet? This is an in-person meeting.
That's, well, in my case, see, there's so many of these things that don't change, that they can virtually print this every month and it's pretty much the same. If anything changes, they're ready to have it change. Okay, but that I get that every month. Now, I'm spoiled, okay? You can tell.
Okay.
And then they do a portfolio analysis summary, and that's it. And I get that every month. But if you've got a client that's a large client, then, you know, that's what they demand. You know, they're more demanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not saying I'm the biggest client in the world, but I, you know.
You got a guest house in an alley.
Right. Baseball's been good to me.
Yeah. That's great. Great.
Capitalism, right?
That's right.
But, you know, it makes me a better coach because I have been fortunate, and therefore I can teach how to work with the ultra high net worth and the high net worth, and that's a big help. That's a big help, and I've lived, you know, 71 years, so I've gone through a lot, and that's another big help. So I can look back and help you guys and give you some real life lessons that can help anybody. So anyway,
absolutely.
That's a complex agenda, but I couldn't do without that. You can imagine that is amazing, and what is that worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
For them to do that much work for me every month. Well, they earn their money. You know, I pay them a lot of fees, and they earn them.
Okay.
So, and that's what this business is about when it comes to clients with quite a bit of money.
Okay. So, Rob, do you get a 15-minute call every month, or is yours longer than 15 minutes?
It's the first Tuesday of the month at 4 o'clock, and it usually lasts about 45 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So they have fewer clients than we have. And so with a client your size, for example, how would you feel if you got a 15-minute phone call?
Sometimes it is 15 minutes because I'm busy.
Okay.
And we go right to the action steps, and we go through it, and we're done in 15 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
Well, this, you know, this time I've been doing a lot of research on artificial intelligence and robotics and the big, you know, the huge change. And so I was interested in building a portfolio around that. So, you know, this took two calls of an hour each to get that established.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it's 15 minutes and sometimes it's 2 hours.
Wow.
Okay. Got you.
But, you know, Gerald and Chantel on the schedule, there is a block of, it's an hour that's blocked. So if
you always block an hour because quarterly you're going to need an hour. Most of the time, it's not going to take that long, and most of the, you know, you've got clients with a couple million dollars, and they're taking, you know, just distributions from that million dollars. The situation is very simple. You can cover it in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It gets, you know, as the client becomes more, you know, complex, and you do more things, you do more estate planning and other things, it gets just a little bit busier. And especially if you have a client like me who likes to manage, you know, kind of co-manage some of the money. So now we're into portfolio management too.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, my brother just retired, so he was a FA in Boston, and I had money with him, and so I moved it to the folks in Indiana, and so we had to make some big changes based on, you know, the direction I wanted to go and the direction they wanted me to go and so forth.
So it was different from the way you had it set up in Boston.
Yes. Yeah.
But you didn't change it until your. Why didn't you change it while your brother was in Boston? I'm just asking.
Well, we raised a lot of cash, just because we had, you know, I had raised some cash, just because, you know, there was a lot. The market had done well, and I wanted to raise some cash. I never have cash, and so I raised cash. But when I got into this idea of the artificial intelligence and robotics and doing the research on that, then I wanted to deploy that cash. Mm-hmm. So that took that, you know, that when you do something like that, you got to build a portfolio from scratch focused on that. That takes a while, and I wanted to. And I had raised some cash in Indiana, too. So I deployed both of those at the same time in that particular area of the market.
Okay.
So I was, you know, I'm pretty convinced that this is going to be the next industrial revolution. And you know, and it's a fast-moving, changing, crazy world. But I want to be positioned. I did really well when I... You know, back in the 80s, I took positions in biotechnology, got together with the analyst and bought a portfolio of about 6 different biotech stocks and kept them for a long time. And they did very, very, you know, I did very well. I think that's what's going on now. I think that's the next big change here. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not my whole portfolio. It's just a portion, but it's the sort of thing that I think is going to be the future, and so I need to have a fairly sizable position in it in order to, you know, grow the portfolio the way it should grow.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
So it's a much more active way of managing money, but remember, I've been in the business for 45 years, so I'm not your average client.
No. John P. Cup Public, John Q. Public.
No. And I have a client that's an MIT graduate who's a brilliant guy that's, you know, is the head of a robotics team, and so we've been working on this for quite some time, so it's kind of fun.
Okay. Well, you can share with us at any time any of the information that you have of what we need to look at, and we will accept that.
You know, it's really been changed. It's been moving so fast that, you know, I was going to take my time doing it, but the companies are moving so fast I couldn't. I had to move fast. So I would recommend looking at it, especially if we get a decent correction here. I would recommend doing, you know, look at your research in artificial intelligence or robotics. You've got the simple companies, you know, the ones that Google and Amazon and Microsoft, who are big, and then you've got a lot of little companies in there that are going to do well, and then you've got, like in the oil and gas business, you've got the feeder companies, the service companies like the Schlumberger and Halliburton's and all those. And so we're making up one of artificial intelligence, one of robotics, and then one of the service companies that feed all these. You know, it's going to demand tremendous amount of computing power. So who are the companies that are going to provide that computing power?
Okay.
Just some really interesting companies that some of which I owned before, but most that I needed to add.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell I'm pretty excited about it, but it's...
I hear it. Okay. All right.
And yeah, I'm happy to share that if you'd like.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
we can share research and see what you guys are thinking and what our guys are thinking, and that's the advantage of having a good network, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that gives you kind of an agenda. That's a big agenda versus a simple agenda, which is, you know, long-term goals, short-term goals,
right,
action steps that need to be taken, et cetera. It could be two or three items. As the client situation becomes more complex, they get over, you know, let's say they get over the minimum estate size of $11 million or something. Now you've got to start doing all the other things.
Right.
And that becomes much more interesting for you and for them. And I think, I don't think the estate tax will go away. The last item for this week is the Stephen Covey's Urgent, Not Urgent, Important, Not as Important. And one of the things to do is to kind of discuss in your team what are the jobs that only you can do, and is that actually true? You know, sometimes we make up the reality that in fact other people could do that job, but we like doing it because it's a hobby. So it's kind of like making appointments. You know, in the old days, FAs made their own appointments. That's pretty silly. This model, Supernova, helps you to become much more efficient, effective, and having people do the jobs that they're best suited for, and leveraging your time. So the question is, what are you doing, and what jobs could you delegate to somebody else that might be better suited to do that job?
Right.
All right. And so by filling in this quadrant exercise, you see where you're spending your time. So you could do it in a couple different ways. One, you could just imagine what you do all day and write down, this is what I do, this is the amount of time I do it in. The other would be then to test that and see for a day, you know, in half-hour increments, where am I spending my time?
Okay.
And are those, you know, like when I got sick a couple years ago, I had pneumonia, and I literally couldn't even watch TV, so I played video games on my phone. And they're very addicting. They're very addicting, you know.
Yeah.
So what I found was when I got well, I still wanted to play them. And so I had to really restrict myself to the amount of time I would take doing those. And those definitely fall into the unimportant, not urgent category.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. So, you know, watching TV, and those things are great. You know, they're good. They're relaxing. They help your brain to relax. But the question is, are you spending more than an inordinate amount of time doing those things?
Right.
Versus the things you really want to get done. You really want to read about, because you're going to Sicily this summer, you want to read about World War II and Sicily and all that. So shouldn't you be doing that instead of watching, you know, The Price is Right or something? Okay. So it's just a matter of, you know, even prioritizing your recreation, you know, working out versus, you know, just sitting on the couch. So, it can help in your whole life to make sure that you're, you know, at the end of the day, end of the week, you've accomplished what you wanted to accomplish versus what, you know, you're used to accomplishing. So this is the, you know, way to raise your productivity, focus on what matters most versus what matters least, and get the maximum productivity out of your time and energy.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay. All right. I see the assignment also is to write down 6 ways we can save our clients money doing monthly calls. But what I wanted to ask you, and I think we can do that as kind of a homework. I have yet to go on, and I don't know if anybody else has gone on online to the website to see the additional things that you might have on there. You know, for example, you have practice building deeper relationships with clients by asking meaningful questions. Is there a part, is there a place on the website that is a quote unquote meaningful questions, place? You know, so I'm interested in that because, you know, for example, the notes that you have on page 68 and 69, you know, we don't like confrontation. We don't like being turned down. We don't like rejection. You know, I like some of this. I like the comparison because I love illustrations. You know, why do people pay $95,000 for a 2012 Mercedes S550 when a Chevrolet costs $30,000? See, I love that because that makes sense to me. So, you know, if you have other things on the website that we need to look at as a team, or we can split it up, you know, where Keisha and Tina might look for one thing because we're going to be working with Keisha and I are going to be working on the branding part of things. And Chantel and I, as well as Jerry, will be working on the financial planning / building relationships, you know, part of the team as well. So I just need some help with where it might be, if it's available on the website. If so, where is it? Because we want to dig into everything that you have to offer us.
No, you can go through and do the headlines, but one of the things that, from a marketing point of view, is I took each one of the 7 marketing initiatives that we suggest that you consider. We'd love for you to do them all, but time is a challenge. So the 7 marketing initiatives each have their own webinar. So I did a series on creating centers of influence, how to build a mastermind group, how do you ask for introductions. I had, an audio with Bill Cates on actually the author of the book, How to Get More Referrals Now, that I use in building that VIPSA model. There's a lot of letters in there, or not letters, but blogs and write-ups on topics that, and you can just read the headline to see if it's something that you want. Okay. So that's all there. Plus, of course, the all of the weekly videos. You know, there's a video that goes with every weekly, I hope you're watching, every week's lesson. So that gives you, I think, a broader look at each of the topics. The idea was you watch my video, then we discuss and answer questions based on what you've learned, so we don't have to cover all the material.
Okay.
If you see something, if you write down something and you don't see it, then this is the time to ask the question, Rob, I didn't see anything on meaningful questions to ask. Why don't you give me, you know, 5 or 6 good questions to ask when we're profiling a client?
Okay.
And I can do that off the top of my head, so that we can do.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now,
go ahead.
We've got 2 referrals that are coming in Friday. You know, any suggestions on what we need to do? You know, because I want to do it differently than we've been doing it. So, our initial meeting.
Yeah, I mean, you know how to do this. You're very successful. But the very first thing you always do, it's just like the first thing on the agenda, right? Before we go into our agenda, let's make sure we cover what's on your mind. In this case, when you meet people, you spend a portion of the time affiliating with them. So the first half of the meeting doesn't have to be, let's say the first quarter of the meeting, depending on their style, all right? Now, this is something you have to determine ahead of time if you can. What is their style? Are they an affiliator that wants to really get to know you? Are they an engineer type that wants to know how the watch works? Or are they a driver type A that want to get in and get out?
Mm-hmm.
So it really does matter. And if you can find out from the person that referred you, what kind of person is this? You know, are they an affiliator, which is a person that wants to really get to know you before they do anything? In that case, you're going to spend a greater portion of the meeting finding out all the details about them and them finding all the details about your family, not just the business, right? The type A driver doesn't care about your family. He wants or she wants to get on with the meeting and tell me what you're offering and tell me how much it's going to cost and how are we going to work together, and then I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a very different meeting, and if you are only one style, then you only connect with one style. So you have to be kind of a chameleon and adjust to the style of the client that's coming in.
Okay.
All right. So a portion of the time is getting to know them. And you can introduce financial planning, but I don't suggest doing it in that meeting. You set up a separate meeting to get the financial planning done.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to introduce it and ask a lot of questions. Tell me about your experiences that you've had in the market before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you'd like to get out of this relationship. What's important to you? Now, what would you like to get, you know, tell me about your issues, the fears, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. What has been your experience with money? What has been your experience with other financial advisors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you feel about money? You know, how do you feel about, well, how do you, you know, you want to get a sense of them.
Right.
And their job will help you, you know, just their CPA, they're going to have a clear understanding of what we do and how we do it. If they're, you know, if they're a philanthropist or they're, you know, who knows what they, you know, they could be a million different things.
Right. Okay.
All right.
All right, but they get the folder as well right up front.
Yeah, I would save it until you get through the affiliation period, which is, you know, where are you from? Where, you know, tell me about your children. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do? And that's where they affiliate with you. We try and establish that we're from similar. You know, we have something in common. And, mm-hmm. and we like each other. So you want them to get to like you. That's really important. And then when you start to go into what the client experience is going to be like, that's when you bring out the folder.
Okay.
And then they talk about the fact that you're very, you know, practice is very client-centered. So what we do is we help the client to be engaged in the process. All our clients have a financial plan, just like a physical. We're not going to diagnose things until we understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So every client, and then we implement that plan through 12 scheduled appointments. four of them will be reviews of the financial plan, two of them will be in person, and then we've set up a rapid response team with one-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? The client goes, that's amazing, and how can you do that? And it's because we only have, 7,800, 80 clients, and that's how we do it. And they go, oh, wow, what's your minimum?
Mm-hmm.
And, and then they feel very honored to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the way, you want to work that introduction right up front.
Okay.
And I would do that before I do anything of, this is how we manage money or this and none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would build a relationship, and then I would show them, and you can tell from them the questions they ask. They say, well, how much do you charge and all that?
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell them. I'd be very upfront.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
I think by doing that, you're the only one that's going to talk about the service experience if they're talking to more than one team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the idea that they're going to be, it just make it clear, we're going to be talking to you every single month. Good markets, bad markets. So we keep you informed. Okay?
Okay, and we treat them as clients for 90 days?
Well, that's up to you. I wouldn't if I could close them. I mean, if they come in and they have been, introduced by a great friend and then
right.
you find no sense that they're pulling back, then
right.
the next thing to do is to make an appointment to do the financial plan and,
mm-hmm.
and open the relationship. Start the transfer of the client of the accounts from wherever they're coming from. Get all that done.
Okay.
Always be ready, always be ready to close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Worst thing in the world is to take a, especially if a person is type A, they want to check this baby off,
That's exactly right. Yep. That's exactly right. Okay.
So you make it easy for them. Whatever they want to do is what you encourage them to get this thing done. And
right.
Move on. All right?
Sounds good.
Good.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks. Take care.
See ya. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye, Rob.
Bye.